Tonight's, excuse me, tonight's scripture reading is from Psalms 142, verse 5. Psalm 142, verse 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living.
By any way of reasoning, Psalm 142 ought to be considered one of the great chapters of the Bible. It really should. And here's why. Psalm 142 reminds us that there is no pit so deep that God cannot deliver us, that He can't bring us out of it. No pit so deep that God can't bring us out. It also reminds us that there is no cave so dark that the light of God cannot be seen. Sometimes we think life's the pits. Sometimes we feel like we are people that have entered into a cave and we feel alone and isolated and we're afraid. Psalm 142 is a psalm for people like this. It only has seven verses, so we'll go through all seven quickly tonight. But when you look at this psalm, there's several things I want to bring out as we introduce it. The first one is that this is a psalm of David. Not all of the psalms in the book of Psalms are by David, but many, many are, as a matter of fact, about two-thirds. This says that this psalm was written while he was in a cave. While he was in a cave. Now think about it, because David is the Lord's anointed. You think that kings should be in a palace, but David finds himself in a cave. I doubt there is a home sweet home sign outside the cave. We think maybe that caves can be interesting places to visit for a little while. You can have an adventure in them, but you don't want to live there. David is at a point in his life where his home is a cave because he is going through a lot in his life. Saul is the king. God has rejected him, but Saul's still living in a palace. David is God's anointed, and though he is God's anointed, he is living in a cave. And part of us will say initially, it doesn't seem fair. After all, the one who God has rejected is still living in a palace, and the one that God has anointed, chosen to be his king, is living in a cave. Stop and think about this. At a later point in David's life, he'll be in the palace. While he's in the cave, he prays. When he was in the palace, temptation came, and David fell into temptation with Bathsheba. Think about it that way. Sometimes we might need a palace, but other times we need a cave if it will drive us to prayer and greater closeness to God. David's in a cave. You'll notice also that this particular psalm is called a maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L. Most of the Bible students tell us that this is kind of a musical notation. It can be a poem or hymn that is all about our relationship with God. There are 13 psalms in the book of Psalms, which consist of 150 different chapters. 150 different psalms, 13 of them are called a maskil, a maskil. Six of them are from David. A song or a bit of poetry that deals with one's relationship with God and how it can deepen. That brings me to another thought. We often go through dark times. We have our caves. Deep times that we don't know if we're ever going to be delivered. The pits. And some of us maybe even feel that we're imprisoned by things that are going on in our lives. Choices other people have made, choices that we've made, the impact that those things have had on us. The tendency sometimes is to be overwhelmed by our prisons, our pits, our caves. But let me put a little bit of perspective on it from David and our study tonight. Every pit, every prison, every cave is an opportunity to pray and to draw closer to God. An opportunity to pray and to draw closer to God. Now, when you look at the seven verses that make up this psalm, let me show you how they unfold. Four truths about God, our refuge. Look at Psalm 142, verses 1 and 2. The Lord hears our prayers. There's something very assuring about that. The Lord hears our prayers. And I'm going to say more about that in a moment, but let me give you the other three. Four truths, four principles about God, our refuge. The Lord hears our prayers. But secondly, look at verses 3 and 4. The Lord knows our plight. The Lord knows our problems. The Lord hears our prayers. And the Lord knows our problems. Now look at verse 5. That Alan read for us in the scripture reading. And in most ways, I think this is the key verse of the seven that make up Psalm 142. And it says that the Lord is our refuge and portion. He hears our prayers. He knows our problems. And the Lord is our refuge and our portion. Now verses 6 and 7. The Lord provides and deserves our praise. The Lord provides and He deserves our praise. Now what we're going to do is look at the verses a little bit more closely now. I've kind of given you something of the structure of how this psalm unfolds and its overall message. Now let's put a little bit of meat on those bones. First of all, verses 1 and 2, that the Lord hears our prayers. The Lord hears our prayers. Let's read these two verses together and let me make a few comments. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. This is intense. This is personal. David is bringing all of his pain and his hurt, all of his grief and sorrow to God. He is described, David is, as being a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. There is so much that we can learn about being people after God's own heart too. as we look at the life of David. And one of the things that we see is how intense and personal and genuine he is as he takes his pain to God. Notice the terminology. With my voice, I cry to the Lord. He's in a cave. And the idea is that he's talking out loud. He's crying out to the Lord. And don't you imagine it echoed through the cave? The terminology is really interesting here. With my voice, I plead for mercy. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for mercy. I pour out my complaint. I pour out my complaint. Imagine having a great big bucket and you take the bucket and you pour it. He's saying, I pour out my complaint. I've got a bucket full. And I tell you my trouble. What a vivid way of taking our problems and our heartaches and our difficulty to God. The Lord hears our prayers. Now, David had to just kind of trust in that, and there were a few passages in the Old Testament that would give him hope that he would have been familiar with that were already around at this time. But how much more you and me? The confidence that we have that God hears. And notice the expression found twice in most translations here in these verses. Before him. Before him. Do you see it? Circle it. I go with my cries. I go pleading for mercy. I go pouring out all of my complaint. I go telling him my trouble. By far the best person in all the world to go to is our God. The throne of his grace before him. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Now look at verses 3 and 4 with me. The Lord knows my plight. The Lord knows my problems. Let's read these two verses. Psalm 142, verse 3. Catch this. My spirit faints within me. My spirit faints within me. I feel weak and overwhelmed. You know my way. There's this hope here. You know my way. You know what I'm going through. I know that you do, Lord. I feel weak and overwhelmed. I'm without strength. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap from me. It seems like there's all kinds of traps and snares that my opponents have put out for me everywhere I go. Next, look to the right and see. No one notices. There's none who take note of me. There is no refuge. No one cares for my soul. When life is the pits, when you feel that you're imprisoned, when you think that you're in the darkest of caves, you can connect with what David is saying, can't you? Nobody cares. Nobody notices. I am completely exhausted, without strength, fainting. I need help. And then it says in this section, you know my way. You know my way. Look at the next verse, and it all sounds so hard, and we can relate to his anguish. But verse 5, like I said, is a key verse that really helps serve as the key that unlocks everything. Verse 5, I cry to you, O Lord. This began with verses 1 and 2 in his crying to the Lord in prayer. It will continue, look at verses 6 and 7, as he cries to the Lord. The Lord hears my prayers. I'm going to pray to him, and I'm going to come out of this with deeper faith. Somehow, some way, I don't know exactly how God's going to do it, but catch this. What does he say about the Lord? He says, the Lord is our refuge and our portion. Let me look at each one of those expressions. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our safe place. The Lord is our secure place. In Him and in Him alone do we find safety and security in a world that's often very unsafe and insecure, huh? What a great way of thinking of God, our refuge. I need a refuge. Even when there seems like there's no one else, isn't it awesome to think of the fact that the God of all heaven and earth says, I care, I know, and I am your refuge, your security, your safety. Your peaceful place can be found with me. Then he says, you're my portion. You're my portion. The idea of God as refuge is found a lot in Psalms. Psalm 46 in verse 1, for example, here. But the idea of God as portion is less frequent, but just as true. And the idea of God as portion means you are the one who blesses. You are the one who is with me. In a song that Adam led us in just a little while ago, it's based on Isaiah 41, verse 10. I will not fear, I will not be discouraged. Because you, God, are my strength, and you will be there for me. You'll be my partner. You'll be walking with me. You know the way. And I trust in you. You are my portion, my blesser, my encourager, the person who knows how all of this is going to turn out, even though I don't. You're my portion, my refuge. That brings me to this thought before we move on to verses 6 and 7. When the God of all heaven and earth is our partner and friend, we can face a whole lot more than we think. When He's our security and our safety, we can face a whole lot more than we think. And we can draw closer to Him in faith and in prayer. Now look at verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7, the Lord provides and deserves our praise. The Lord provides and deserves our praise. Attend to my cry. He's still praying. I am brought very low. The idea is I am as low as I can get. Talk about being in a pit. I really need to be delivered. Deliver me from my persecutors. They are too strong for me. There's that overwhelming feeling. Bring me out of prison. Get me out of this cave and help me to see the light. And then he says, that, mark it, that I may give thanks to your name. that I may give thanks to your name as my refuge and as my portion, as the light, as the deliverer, as the one who liberates me from prison, the prison I've been experiencing. Then he says, the righteous will surround me. And I love the way the psalm ends. It ends, for you will deal bountifully with me. You will deal bountifully with me. You will deal with me graciously. You will deal with me mercifully. You will deal with me better than I deserve, because it's in your nature to do that. You know that I felt like I've been in a pit, in a cave, imprisoned. But you'll provide for me. By anyone's reasoning, this should be one of the great chapters of the Bible. Because a person can get through anything this old world has to offer if you and I believe what David believed. Pray like he prayed, and trust like he trusted, if we have a heart like his. Thank you for listening, and I hope that this has blessed you tonight. It should have. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement, and if we can help you in your relationship with God, either in coming to Jesus to become a Christian or as a Christian to deal with sin in your life, to pray for you, we'd be glad to. Let's stand and sing.